of a type of relationship with God where we initiate the relationship and God responds. The contrast to this is Shabbos. Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima. Kviya V'Kaima means it's Kavua and Kayam, meaning that Shabbos is initiated by God. Shabbos is holy because God declares it holy and it's for us to tune into it. We don't make that holiness. We only respond to that holiness. God begins the relationship. Isorarusa mila eila de la thasa, an arousal from above to below. And there they stand in stark contrast. Muadim, on the one hand, appealing to a type of relationship which man initiates, and Shabbos on the other, the glories of a relationship where God begins. And then a strange thing happens. Comes along Sfiras HaOmer. And Sfiras HaOmer defines Pesach as a Shabbos. And it defines the 49th day, the 7 times 7, the end of the Sfiras HaOmer, also as a Shabbos. Usfatin lachem imacharas haShabbos, just a few psukim later. And you should count for you on the day after Shabbos. That Shabbos, Rashi says over there, has to be referring to Pesach, because if it was referring to Shabbos, we wouldn't know which one of the Shabboses of the year it's going on. Miyom avi achem es omer atnufa, sheva Shabbases tmimois, 7 pure weeks, tiyena ad mimacharas ha-Shabbos ha-Shvis, until the day after the 7th Shabbos. And the Mefarshim explain that Pesach is this unusual intertwining of two elements. It's true that Pesach is a moed. Pesach is something which we had to do something about. There was a Shabbos HaGadol where we took the sheep, the gods of the Egyptians, and we shechted them. There was the two bloods, the brass, the dam shall Mila and the dam shall Pesach. And at the end of the day, our efforts were of no avail. We didn't manage to move the situation forward in any way. We reached out to God and we realized that we hadn't moved an inch. And in the end of the day, it was all God. Pesach was a festival where HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially responded to some kind of an attempt that had no effective value, no action value on our part, merely indicated our desire that He should respond. Really, He was initiating. And it had to be that way. It had to be that way because the birth of the Jewish people was not just the creation of a nation. The birth of the Jewish people was the creation of a nation which would have a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that from its very foundation, it would be a nation that, because it's connected to God, would be above the normal laws and norms of history. It would be a supernatural nation, a nation that followed a different logic, a nation that defied all the predictions of its demise. It's not a wise thing to make demographic or other predictions about the Jewish people, because we follow meta-historical laws. And we follow meta-historical laws because our foundations were meta-historical, because our very beginnings were by HaKadosh Baruch Hu initiating, not us. But since a bris Since the Sefer HaYikrim always involves two sides, a bris by its very nature is two parties to a covenant. Therefore, there had to be some kind of reaction or initiation on our part. And hence, Pesach is yet a moed. We wake up the next morning. The day of Sfiras HaEmer, and we begin this new mitzvah, Sfiras HaEmer, 49 days. We don't make a Shehechiyanu on this new mitzvah. Very strange. And some of the Beforshim say we don't make a Shehechiyanu on this mitzvah because we feel so deflated from that spiritual high of Pesach. When suddenly vistas and visions opened up for us and we saw everything clearly and then suddenly it all went dark again. And we're in a kind of a semi-depression, not the state of joy of counting that we should be in, looking forward to Shavuos. And there are even those who mechadesh that the Chatzi Hallel that we begin to say starting on the second day of Pesach, in contrast to the full Hallel on the first day, is because of that loss of Kedusha, that loss of clarity. We can no longer say a full Hallel even on the second day, even yet in the Chag. And we begin this thing called Sfiras HaEmer, the day after that day which is called Shabbos, the first day of Pesach. We begin a process which anticipates our getting somewhere, i.e. Shavuos, a giving of the Torah. The anticipation in and of itself, we're told, creates something. The Gemara says, Gemara in Shabbos, when we go up to Shemayim, will be asked, Sipisa le Yeshua. Did you wait? Did you anticipate the Yeshua? And it's a strange question. Because it's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim to believe that Mashiach will come and that there will be a Yeshua. But why do I have to await him? Why Tzipisa? In such a way that it'll be one of the questions, one of the primary questions, the first questions I'll be asked in Shemai. Where else do we see an idea that did you wait? Did you anticipate? Anytime somebody asks me, do you believe Mashiach is going to come? Yes. Could he come any moment? Yes. That's not good enough. Tzipisa? It's Zemach David Avdecha Tzipisa. Ken, ki lishuascha tzipisi kol hayom. Why will he come? Because my expectation, it seems, created a reality. My expectation is not just an attitude. My tzipia creates something. It is my contribution to that situation. So even if I'm feeling down and I'm feeling I've lost that clarity, I know I'm working towards something and I expect it and I await it and I look forward to it, that very attitude in and of itself is creating facts on the ground. But it goes further than that. The Zohar says that the comparison of Sfiras HaEmer is a comparison to an Ashes Nida who counts her Shiva Nikim. And it would seem, the Mefarshim understand, that the extension of that is that we're going to marry, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or some say we're going to marry with the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Masada Kiddushin, and that these are the Shiva Nekim, with the Makas Bechayers being equivalent to the Hefsek Torah. Now, it's very interesting because there are actually seven different types of tumah, as the Meiri points out in the Torah. There's a zav, an aziva, there's a nida, there's tumas begadim and tumas bais and tumas ish. So there's and there's a yoledis. And of all those seven, the Zohar chooses this one to describe the relationship, because it's the preparation for a marriage. And the preparation for that marriage is created by our expectation of clarity. And if you look at the word for clarity and contrast it with purity, with impurity, you'll see an interesting thing. The word for impurity is tumah, to be tameh. And if you'll substitute that tet with a tzaddik, you'll get tameh, to be thirsty, which is the physical equivalent. Similarly, the effects of that tumah is the word timtum. Timtum alev, the blocking, the covering up, the inaccessibility, the insensitivity. And if you'll substitute that tet with a tzaddik, you'll get tzimtzum, which is a contraction, a physical or a spiritual contraction. And the opposite, tahor, which is pure, if you substitute that with a tzaddik, you'll get tzahor, which is clear. Purity and clarity go together, just as blockage and impurity go together. And zelu umaze barai lakim, which means that if you don't have the capacity for that clarity, you don't have the capacity for that impurity. Midaraisa, there's no tumish from a non-Jew. And even after the Darabonis, there's no tumah to a non-Jew. Lacking the capacity for that level of clarity and spirituality, similarly, they lack the capacity for losing that and becoming unclear. So, the Sfiras HaOmer is all about that process of expecting to reach a situation of a certain type of clarity. But let's understand how it works. We know that the korban that you bring at the beginning, the Omer, is Sa'irin, is Bali. And Chazal tell us that Bali is a Michael Behema. The Shnei HaLechem, which we bring on Shavuos, is Chitim. And I'd just like to point out, it's Bedavka Chometz. It's the only Korban Tzibur in the Torah which has to be Chometz. Okay, we go from Matzah, which requires, ironically, a greater effort to produce matzah than to produce bread. And yet, that's only a stage that we've got to get over. It's a stage of precious, of withdrawal. We've got to get into the world to the point where, on a Shavuos, we can eat that Shnei HaLechem. But the story I want to tell you about today is more about the contrast between the Michael Behema, the Soirin of the Omer on Pesach, and the Michael Adam on Shavuos. What is the difference between a Behema and an Adam? A Behema comes from the word Bahma. Bahma means, in it there is. And what that means in turn is that a behemoth is completely self-contained. What you see, that's what there is. A behemoth is a totally fulfilled being. You'll never see a lion lying on a rock suffering from an existential crisis. Behemoths have no vision for the future, have no sense of spiritual growth, have no desire to work on their meters. They might grow in certain very discrete ways, emotionally, intellectually, but not spiritually. Adam is the very opposite. Adam is that which can grow spiritually. And Adam comes from two words, says the Shlok. From the word Adama, which is similar to the ground, which has potential to grow, and from the word Adameh, I will be like Adameh le'elyona, I'll be like God. Which is also the same idea of reaching beyond where you are now, reaching your potential. Adama is the ability to take a seed, plant it in the ground, see it rotting, see it almost destroyed, and then slowly a stalk rises up, a whole process ensures, and eventually there's a fruit, there's a product. It's a long process. I remember visiting a farm in the Negev where they told me that the first that to produce mango fruit takes 7 years after you first plant the tree. That's one type of potential. Contrast to an animal. But Sfiris HaEmir relates to a second type of potential, a second type of Adam. The Adam that is Adameh le'elyon. How do we see that? So we know that when we count spheres, the first week is Chesed and the second week is Gura and etc. And the first day is Chesed Shebe Chesed and the second day is Gura Shebe Chesed. And where does that come from? Well, those are spheres. And they are God's spheres. They relate to the way God manifests Himself in this world. So what are we doing playing God? What are we doing taking those attributes and trying to imitate them? Because God told us, Va'alachta b'drachav, you should walk in His ways. And so, just as He manifests Himself in this world in such a way, so we should. Not, as some non-Jews mistakenly understand, imitatio Deo, which is Latin for imitating God. You can't imitate God in His essence. But you can imitate the way He manifests, Ba'alachta b'drachav, His drachim in this world. And so, you're imitating something you can't see, you can't hear, you can't touch, you can't relate to. It's something beyond comprehension. It requires dimyon. It requires the imagination of man to perceive that. Dimyon is that very same word of Adameh, I will be like. I have to use a leap of my imagination in order to be like God. And that's Adam, the second aspect of Adam. Now, what's the difference between the first aspect of Adam and the second aspect of Adam? The first aspect of Adam has to do with self-actualization. Just like you plant a seed and all you're seeing is a seed. And then that seed fulfills all its potential, so man is capable of understanding the gap between who he is and what he could be, which is one type of humility. Humility is a function of a person understanding the gap between the is and the ought. But it ends with self-actualization. And the problem with self-actualization, with fulfilling your own potential, is that it ultimately, if it ends there, is self-destructive. Because a person who's constantly focused on self-actualization is essentially engaging in spiritual egocentricity. It might be of the highest levels. But essentially he's saying, I want me. I want more of me. And therefore, we can only overcome that by going beyond ourselves, by going not just to the self-actualization of the Adam, similar to Adama, but to the self-transcendence of Adamele Elyon. Of man going beyond himself and trying to be like that ultimate being. Let's look at another interesting difference between a behemoth and an Adam. We said that the first difference is a difference between a behemoth not having a vision and Adam having a vision. And by the way, there's a fascinating pasuk. When Avraham Avinu takes Yitzhak and he takes the two Nairim with him, the two youths, Ishmael and Eliezer, according to the Mefarshim. Vayom Ashlishi Vayisa Avraham Es Einav Vayares Hamakom Merachik. And on the third day, he looks up, he's going to Shecht his son, and he sees the place from far. He has a vision of that place in the distance, and he understands what that place is. And he knows he has to go towards that place. That's his goal. And then it says, Vayume Avram El Narav. He says to these two youths with him. And I'll interpolate now. You didn't see that mountain. You didn't have that vision. You couldn't see beyond yourselves. So therefore, Shvu Lachem Poim Achamor. Go back and stay here with the chamor. You are like a chamor, like that chomriyut, that physical behemoth that doesn't see beyond yourself. And therefore, you cannot accompany us on this holy mission anymore. You must stay with the donkeys. V'ani v'anar ne'elcha ad kor, and we will go to higher levels, to a level called at core. And we will bow down, i.e., we will relate to that which is beyond ourselves. Adamele Elyon. And then we'll come back to you. The Pasuk in Bereishis, where it says, Alkein Yazov Ish Es Aviv Ves Imoy. Therefore a man should leave his father and his mother. V'davak B'ishtoi. And he should cleave to his wife. V'hayu L'basar Echad. And they should be as one flesh. Rashi says there, what does it mean to be one flesh? Husband, wife. It's to have children. The Ramban says, behemoths also have children. What's the difference between a human being and a behemoth? They both have children. And the Ramban says, Etzem HaZivug is what's been referred to here. Comes along the Gur Aryeh and says, no, Rashi was not referring to the physical progeny. Rashi was referring to Yichus. Rashi was referring to the fact that human beings relate one to the other, generation after generation. Animals may recognize their mother. Few animals recognize their father. Many animals don't recognize their mother after they've grown up. But no animal recognizes its grandfather and grandmother. Animals do not have grandparents because there is no connection from one generation to the next. There is no sense of building. There's no sense of taking the spiritual achievements of the previous generations, building on that and passing it on to the next generation. Bama. The animal starts each cycle, each lifetime, from fresh. human beings have that ability to see beyond not only their own reality into a vision of the future of their own lives, but to see the multiple generations of lives as they relate one generation to another. And therefore, we dip at the end of this process in the mikveh of the Torah. Torah is referred to as mayim, mayim chayim, in fact, because it's continuously producing life. And the Sfiras Ha'ema leads to Shavuos because of our awareness that we have to reach beyond ourselves. The counting, where we say chesed shebechesed, the Mashgiach of Kol Torah, Bodyansky, said that what they say in the name of the Saba Mikelm, that the Memches, Memches Dvarim, the 48 ways of acquiring of Kinyan HaTorah that's brought down in Perek Avos, Perek Vav, each one relates to the first 48 days of the Omer. He said the Saba Mikelm could never have said that, because the Saba Mikelm would never say that you could work on a whole Midah in just one day. It's much more likely that the Saba Mikelm would say, work on a Midah for 10 years. And it's so uncharacteristic of everything he said, he believes that that's an inauthentic source. I saw that Rav Aaron Kotler does write that. But the point is that it's not so much the ability to achieve a whole midah on one day, chesed shebechesed, and we're done, boom, and then gvura shebechesed, and we're done, boom, and off we go floating into the nether worlds of spirituality, 49 days, 49 levels, and we're holy of holies. If only New Year's resolutions would work so well. But the point is that we're expressing the idea that we understand what the human condition is. We're expressing the idea that we understand that there's a difference between us and Behemah, between the Tzo'irin at the beginning of the process and the Shnei HaLechem of the Chitim at the end of the process. We're expressing a tzipiyan, anticipation and expectation that somehow we will achieve not just the tahor, but the tzahor, the clarity that comes from the purity that will be ours in Shavuos. Shavuos, an interesting thing happens. Shavuos, firstly, is not written as a specific date in the Torah. It doesn't say on Vav Sivan, which is the day that we celebrate, you should. Hakadosh Baruch Hu came and he gave the Torah. It just says that it'll be the 50th day after the Sfiras Ha'ema. That is Kabbalah Soteria. Kabbalah Soteria is a situation. It's a state. The Kli Yakar says a state that could be any day, and therefore the Torah didn't want to specify a date even. Which is one of two places where a date is not specified. The other one is that Yom HaDin is on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, nowhere is that written in the Torah. Because God didn't want us to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and relates to us in that way on one day, and the rest of the year is, there's no such Hashgacha. Shavuos is the 50th day, intrinsically. It's the 50th day after 49 days of us expecting some kind of clarity. What is the clarity? Pachad Yitzchak says there are three groups of 10. There's the Asara Mamaris Shomaise Bereshis, the 10 sayings of creation, which showed that the world had a beginning. God created the world. Then there's the Eser HaMakos,
the 10 plagues in the middle, which shows that not only did God create the world, but He continues to be Mashgiach of the world throughout history. And then comes the Aseres HaDibros on Shavuos, which gives us the spiritual and moral content of all of that. Expecting what? Counting towards what? Taking the knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still involved with our lives, and that if He is, then He must have a message. If the world has a purpose, there must be a way of revealing that purpose. And that was revealed on Shavuos. There's one other component of this, and with that we'll end. There is a great principle in the Torah, which we're all familiar with, Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Laze. All of the Jewish people are responsible one for the other. It has great halachic implications. Somebody comes in and they haven't made Kiddush, and I have made Kiddush. I can make Kiddush again. It's not considered a bracha levatala because it's considered that I haven't made Kiddush. Where does this come from? There is no mitzvah in Tariag mitzvahs, Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Laze. There's no such thing. You will not find it in any of the Minei HaMitzvahs. It's not one of the 613. So the Ritva says that it's not a mitzvah, it's a mitzias. It's a reality. Where does that reality come from? It's a fact. It comes from Sinai. When at Ma'aman HaSinai, we stood ke'ish echad u'b'lev echad, right, with one heart, with as one person with one heart, the reality of Kol Yisrael, the connections between us became so close that from then onwards we were one unit. The Jewish nation achieved a new level, a level where automatically we are linked in ways that are astonishing. The Chofetz Chaim brings in Chaimus Hadas that a person will go up to Shemayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, "Why did you eat Chazir?" And he'll say, "Me? I was the Medakdek Shebedaktekim. I only ate half of the Bedatz products." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show him a movie of him eating Chazir. And he'll say, I don't understand. I see it's me. But I was so careful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the person eating chazir there, that person which is you, that was Shloimi. And you could have helped Shloimi not eat chazir. And because he ate chazir, you ate chazir. The spiritual effect of Shloimi eating chazir when you could have helped him was as impactful on your neshama as it was on his. And we begin this process already on Pesach. We know Pesach is family time. And it already is family time. It's not just an idea that we all have the Seder together. Right? There's a discussion in the Gemara, Seila Bayis, one sheep per house. And what that means, whether any individual could conceivably eat on his own, Machlokes in the Gemara. And we paskin that, but even somebody could do it on his own if he could eat a whole sheep. But that lechatchila he's supposed to eat up a chabura. The mitzvah itself demands that we get together and begin to express the unity of the Jewish people. And then comes the Omer. And there are mafoshim who say that the word Omer means imur v'his asfus. Imur meaning a gathering together, a collection, a combining of elements. And the whole of the Omer is a gathering, firstly, a relating to the Jewish people, one to the other. So it's not just each individual in his corner saying Sfiras HaOmer. If you don't feel some kind of national connection when you're doing it, if you don't feel some kind of idea that the whole Jewish people is saying this, Omer. You're missing out on a part of the idea of the mitzvah. And the others, Mephoshim, would say the same applies to your own personality. If you are a fragmented individual and you don't become whole about your vision of yourself, you too will not be able to stand at Ma'amad HaSinai.
And then comes Shavuos, when every person received the Torah at his own level. Every individual received the Torah exactly at the level that he was able to. It seemed like a very individual thing. And yet it was B'davka out of there that Ki'ish Echad V'Lev Echad emerged, that the idea of Kol Yisrael Aravim Zeh L'Zeh emerged.
So this is Sfiras HaEmer. It's not just another period of our lives. It's a period which Rabbeinu Bachai and others describe as a long Chol HaMoed. Shavuos, he says, is really simply the eighth day of Pesach, in the same way as Sukkot is the eighth day of Shmini Atzeres is the eighth day of Sukkot. And Shavuos itself is called Atzeres, by the way, which has that same idea. And what does Atzeres have to do with Shavuos? If it has to do with the nation going up, there was Shalosh Regalim. Atzeres means a gathering up. But it's a gathering up of all of our own internal personality traits, a gathering up of all the Jews and all their combined forces. And only that way does Shavuos have any kind of a meaning. The Shloss says as follows. The Shloss says that if Shavuos is the eighth day of Pesach, just like Shmini Atzeres is the eighth day of Sukkot, then really there are wheels within wheels, because we saw that Pesach, although it's a moed, was really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ishtadlus, and Shavuos again HaKadosh Baruch Hu's giving us the Torah. So just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of Egypt on Pesach, and He gives us the Torah on Shavuos, so on Sukkot we respond to that Pesach by saying, you took us out, we'll show our bitachon, we'll go and we'll live in Sukkot. And Shmini Atzeres, our dancing of the Torah, is our response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shavuos. Within the Mu'adim themselves, there are the first two which emphasize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaching out to us, and the last two which represent our response to His. So Shavuos is the beginning of a cycle. It's the beginning of a great gift. Shmini Atzeres is the end of that cycle, is the final consummation of that Shavuos which we're about to celebrate in a few weeks. Thank you. We have 3-4 minutes for questions if anybody wants to ask. I'll finish at 9 o'clock. Any questions? None? Is that good? Is that bad? I wasn't clear. I should say the thing again. More expanded.
You were so confident.
Yes.
I'm not clear what you said. You said Pesach was Hashem responding to our, I guess, ineffectual response to
this. Yes. That it was ineffectual in the sense that we did all of those things and we were still in Egypt. We were still stuck there, as stuck as we were before. So even though we had to do a Pischa Shomachat, right, it's the external effects of that were zero. There was no beginning of Yetzirah. It's not as if we started walking out of Mitzrayim and when we got to the first mud hole, HaKadosh Baruch Hu started helping us.
There was no movement on our part, no possibility of movement.
So, Kriyas Yamsuf, what was the effect of that? Were we just a week further along as far as...
Yeah, it's all the same thing. Kriyas Yamsuf, Nachshon Ben Aminadav, walks into the sea. Nothing happens. Because Baruch Hu wants to show what, right? What you do is happy talking. Happy talking that I am going to split the sea. Any other questions? Yes.
Okay. I gave a similar class on spirits over this week. And somebody asked me if we got on such, you know, I was saying that we started out as a Mevtesh Haritzimah and then we gradually got to the point where we were able to receive the Torah. So they said, then how come so much of the nation had to die before they went into Eretz Yisrael? Like Hashem had to do another weeding out. Like, how come we didn't get...
How is it possible that there'd be a Chayt HaMaraglim after all of this?
That was the overhaul and lose so much of pie.
Well, it happened before then because there was a Chayt HaEgel, right? And if you'll understand that the Chayt HaEgel weakened us to the point where there could be a Chayt HaMaraglim. Mm-hmm. So how could there be a Chayt HaEgel? So that has to do with sneers. What I mean is that sneus is the ability to focus, to defocus from the superficiality of an event in order to perceive the true inner essence of that event. Applies to people as well. And since spirituality is hidden below the surface, somebody who lacks a capacity for sneus lacks the ability to link into to spirituality. Now, With Luchas Rishonos, there were all these convulsions of nature. And the Tanchuma says that as a result, there was a slight loss of focus. There was a slight focus on all that was happening around, instead of the inner spiritual event, which this was only meant to reveal and guide towards. And that slight loss of sensitivity led to the Chayt HaEgel. The effects of the Chayt HaEgel were the equivalent of us going back to the chait of Adam HaRishon. We were metaken that chait, paska zuhamasa shel nachash, at Ma'amad HaSinai. We went back, except, says the Ramchal, we could never go back to the same status because now we had the Torah, so we were in a stronger position. But we now were the closest equivalent to the back to the chait of Adam HaRishon, and we were now in a wicked state. And that weakened state was not matukim by the time we went into Eretz Yisrael, and that lent itself to the Chayt HaMaraglim. In brief, that's the 1 minute answer. Yes. I'll leave that as a statement rather than as a question. Thank you very much.